I'd rather be an old-time Christian, number 204. Let's all stand, please, number 204. In this world I tried most
Thank you. told her she couldn't come because she wasn't here for the main church tonight. So, keep praying for Brother Gene. Yeah. All right, Mr. Williams, I'll be praying. And then we'll go ahead and let Mr. Williams send the question.
This is for Julius. Oh, sacred Lamb, you knew my name, you knew my heart, you knew my frame, you knew what I could never know. You went where I could never go. Oh, sacred Lamb, thou sacred Lamb, you died alone and you took my stand to make me clean and white as snow. To Calvary you had to go, and you became a sinful, humble man just to save my soul, oh sacred Lamb. Your side was pierced, your heart was torn, a crown of thorns your head adorned, and with those nails there in your hand, carried away sins of mortal man. One day you'll come and take us home, you'll come for those you've called your own. And with my eyes I'll finally see that sacred Lamb who lives in me. Oh, sacred Lamb, thou sacred Lamb, you died alone and you took my stand to make me clean and white as snow. To Calvary you had to go, and you became a sinful, humble man just to save my soul, oh sacred Lamb. Just to save my soul, oh sacred Lamb. Just to save my soul, oh sacred Lamb.
We had 63 unique visitors, which is first-time visitors
3,118. How many people total tuned into the stream last month? And you'll turn over, you'll see the date. I just, it's just basic information. Some of you may or may not know anything about it. The 17th and 24th, we had most of our listeners last night. And then most people are listening at 6 o'clock out. But the last page is what I want to point out to everybody. And that is that 56.3% of the people that tuned in listened for more than an hour last night. And then 26.6% listened between 0 and 30 seconds. And then 26% listened in 30 minutes an hour. So it's going really well. I told her to hit it for Lisa last Sunday. The most hits that we had from the site were from Northport, New York. And the second was from Gamble, which they've done in his name. We've got a number of people now listening to us on their phones and computers too, because it's a lot of the IP addresses on, I think, the third page as well that are listed on the public. Those are people that are in other countries that we can't pick up. And then also Blackbird and wireless network. So it's going really well. And unfortunately, today is we were down. The website was down yesterday and today due to Ron Billy's person's ignorance. They put their partner out of trash again. So we took the music yesterday and today, but for the month of May, which I don't have on here, we've had about 8 minutes. That was from the first of the second. So that's really good. It's about 26. So, I do want some input from the church. Anybody ever listens? I would like some input. If I have an idea of a program you can run, national or local, get with me about that and preach more. And I'd like for everybody to kind of get behind us in some church congregation. We've got a Facebook page. It's FPC Radio on Facebook. Share that with your friends. And also share the church on Facebook pages too. So, as everybody knows, it's been a little 2 months that ends on the 3rd, and we can start from there to see what it is. So, I'll keep everybody updated. At the end of the month, we'll do another one, and I'm sure we'll share it with everybody. Anybody got any questions?
Thank you. because with this ministry you have, you probably record everything you've ever preached here, because you probably stick it in sometime, right? Oh, okay. Well, anyway, good evening. It's a joy to be with you. It's a joy to be with you, and we would like to say thank you for your part in the ministry in Ghana. And, you know, I think about that song, Little as Much When God Is In It. And, you know, we thank the Lord for you. That when we first visited this church, my wife was expecting, and she just got Bell's palsy. And she had visited the doctor, and we hadn't even heard of Bell's palsy before, you know. But yeah, it's Bell's palsy. And that was his diagnosis. And so we came with her with Bell's palsy, and I asked that you pray for her. And Pastor Booby said, around here we do things differently. Somebody asked for prayer, we just pray. And so he stopped the service, and we prayed. And actually, I think it was about the next day she started recovering. So it was amazing. And it's one of those things that just never goes out of your memory. That, and I'm sure the secular humanist or whatever, they'll have their explanation, you know, or they'll say it's coincidence. It's amazing how many coincidences happen just when God's people need them to happen. praise the Lord. And anyway, the slides, I should have gotten that started. They will introduce you to Burkum and our ministry. Burkum and Emmanuel Baptist Church, our family, and the people that we work with there in Burkum. And then what have been the accomplishments of Emmanuel Baptist Church. Not all of them, of course, but some of them. And then our plans for next term, Lord willing, of course. And so I hope you enjoy it. And while you're enjoying it, I hope that you understand this is thank you, because you've had a part in this. And, you know, God's keeping accounts. Some people have had big parts, like as far as the green stuff is concerned. But on the other hand, the Lord Jesus said about the widow who gave her mite, that she gave more than all the wealthy people who cast in out of their abundance. And so, as I said, we would like to say thank you for your part in that ministry. Burkum, a place to grow. And Burkum actually is a pretty big place. This is one of the about 9 filling stations within about 9 miles of where we live. A little bit of the market, a little bit more of the market. And we have our fast food places. We do not have McDonald's and Burger King. So, of course, when furlough comes around, that's one of the favorite places to visit. But we do have our fast food places, and you can get your various African dishes. A lot of times it's served with chicken that actually comes from poultry farms, so that little guy down there in the corner is safe. And here's where you can go, the station, to get a ride to Nsuatre or Sinyani or Kumasi, Drobo, Sampa, or Doma Ahinkro. These people are selling mobile phone credit for your prepaid mobile or a cell phone. And a scene of life in Burkum. This lady sells in the market. She has her bulk supplies of rice, flour, sugar, and she'll measure that out for you if you would like to buy some of her stuff. And we have our cloth sellers. And Burkum even has a professional soccer team, the Burkum Arsenals, named after the Arsenals from London, which I hear used to sponsor the Burkum Arsenals, so they named their team after them. And there's the Holy Family Hospital in Burkum. It's a Catholic hospital, but it's a pretty big place. It has several wards, quite a large campus, and a nurses and midwifery training college. And we have about 6 high schools in Brea Coombe and its suburbs. And you know, there is a lot of influence in Brea Coombe from outside of Brea Coombe, be it other parts of Ghana or Nigeria or the rest of the world. This is a stand that sells DVDs. Each DVD could easily have half a dozen movies on it. And you know, one thing I found was interesting, we wanted to use the Jesus video, and for some reason I didn't have one handy, so I went to town to find one. And yeah, I found a Jesus video at the stand, but you really wouldn't want to show the rest of it that was on with the Jesus video. Because the other movies on there, some of them were pseudo-documentaries that actually attacked Christianity. This is Fufu Pounding. You got to have your pounder and your driver, and they've got to be in rhythm. And a lot of people live in traditional style living, where they do their cooking and clothes washing and a lot of stuff outdoors, and they have their room that they entertain certain guests in, and you know, where they watch their TV and sleep. It's a little inconvenient when it rains. A lot of people also live in a self-contained house. And I suppose most of you live in a self-contained house. That means the kitchen and the bathroom are indoors. Kinti Weaving and Dom Fete, that's one of our suburbs. And a bit about the Brea Coombe district, according to the stats. About 30-mile drive across the district from east to west, with a population of about 114,000 and 3.3% growth rate. The stats say 60% urban, but considering the communities they name and then thinking about the ones they don't name, I wonder what you have to think about it. But everything they name is either Brea Coombe or its immediate suburbs, except for Dingeni, which is about 5 miles out and has between 5,000 and 6,000 people. We work with Emmanuel Baptist Church in Brea Coombe, which by God's grace we've been instrumental in starting. Introduce to you the people that have been working in Emmanuel Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Dan. My wife is Karis. And we came to Brea Coombe in February of 1994. I finished Bible college in 1987, and I think you have a picture of me around that time in the back. I look a little different. And that summer I met Karis and went to Ghana as a short-term missionary that fall, and we kept the postal employees busy. And after I came back to the States in 1988, I moved to Montana so Karis and I could get to know each other a bit better, and we got married in 1989. The Lord has blessed us with 4 kids, David, Charity, Grace, and Hannah. And David is a student at Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa. He finished high school in 2009 and went to work for about 15 months to get some funds to go to college, and has been loving college and is wrapping up his freshman year now. He worked at RY Timber in Townsend, Montana, and he worked at Helena Walmart, and every now and then he got a chance to have some fun. You probably don't do this in Virginia very often. But anyway, from Ghana to Montana ice fishing, what a change. And Charity finished high school in 2010, a little bit ago. She works at the Cowboy Coffee and Steakhouse in Townsend, Montana, and also works as a cashier at Walmart in Helena, Montana. And she joined the Christian Writers Guild in January this year. So she is pretty busy. And she's hoping to go to Bible college in about 2 years after she finishes her Christian Writers Guild course. It's been a joy to have the children at home and helping in the ministry. And you know, we thank God that we didn't raise our family in a time when missionaries were expected to send their kids off to boarding school. Charity helped with the regular Baptist kids ministry at the Yami Bechetti location. And the choir, the girls all helped in the choir. The choir sang at the induction service for the new pastor of Good News Baptist Church in Sunyani. And Charity had to be the song leader because actually she had laryngitis that day. This is Grace and her dog Hogan. And Grace helped with the Bible club at the Grenyaqua location. But Grace has excelled in the area of music. And she's pretty good on the piano and picking up the harp. And all three of the girls are pretty good singers. So that's her specialty. She's hoping to go to Bible college after working for about 15 months to get some funds. But she's a senior. Well, her graduation is at the end of May. So she's back, heading back to Montana to find a job. She's actually finished her work. Got a little ahead of myself there. Here she played the angel in a drama that our church was doing for an outreach ministry. And Hannah excels in being outgoing. And so get to meet Hannah. But don't criticize cats, okay? Cats are warm, fuzzy, nice, cute. Just think of all kinds of good things to say about cats, and you will, have Hannah's appreciation. And Hannah is looking forward to being a help in the ministry when she goes back with us. We used to have a monkey. You can criticize monkeys. It was a sad story. We will move along. I told you it was sad. Anyway. And we work with Pastor Seth and Felicia Anchui. Felicia is a teacher in the school system there in Burcombe. She went through the Burcombe Teachers Training College. And so that's her employment. She's also a housewife and a mother. It has been a joy to have Pastor Seth helping us in the ministry. He finished Bible school in 2005, and very shortly after that, came to help us there in the ministry in Burcombe, and has been such a help, especially when we're considering things like going on furlough. We praise God that we've had him there and not had to have a crisis as to who's going to look after the ministry. Pastor Seth and Felicia have two kids, Russell and Andrew, and they have a business called Sefel, S-E for Seth and F-E-L for Felicia. And they do a lot of designing, typing, and printing of various things people need done in the area. It can be business cards, wedding invitations, funeral invitations, exams for the schools around the area, even books that some of the high school teachers print up to help their students learn. And so there's a lot going on at Sefel. This employs about 10 of the church members. And not just employs, but also helps them to learn. This is Daniel, the photocopy man, and the big print machine. And we also work with Pastor Eric and Felicia Boachidankwa. Pastor Eric is our youth pastor. Felicia is a nurse. She went through the nurses and midwifery training college there in Burcombe, and that's where she works. And one of the things Pastor Eric and I were doing together was the outreach to Gingini. We would arrive on Wednesday afternoon around 4, go on visitation, and get done around 6 or 6:30. And around 6:30, we would start prayer meeting, get done. After we got done with that, go back to Burcombe. And Karis and I could usually walk in just around the time they're having their last prayer time there at the Burcombe Church and fellowship with the people there. Get home around 9 p.m. Well, anyway, while Pastor Eric and I are on visitation, Karis is working with the regular Baptist youth kids, and there is another man running the regular Baptist kids program. Pastor Eric and Felicia have two kids, Sarah and Nathan. And we also work with Pastor Stephen. He's not married, but he would like to be. Pastor Stephen is our director of outreach, and one of the things he and I have been doing together is going to some of the schools in the area to show gospel videos. He also has an outreach ministry to one of the as a Sunday school class in one of the schools in the area. And if we're planning a outreach program or some kind of evangelistic outreach program, missions conference or something like that, he's right there in the middle of that. Emmanuel Baptist Church has been instrumental in putting three men through Bible school, Pastor Isaac, Pastor Eric, and Pastor Stephen. And we have a fourth man that is now wrapping up his freshman year, and that's Francis. And so we thank the Lord for this milestone that they've gone through. We've commissioned Pastor Isaac, and he's serving as a missionary in Mumford, right along the coast of Ghana, in what is called the central region. It doesn't mean it's the geographical center, it's just central between two other regions. But that's where he's serving. Pastor Isaac recently got married, so we have a missionary family. So congratulations, Pastor Isaac. And they started a ministry in Jinjini, about 5 or 6 miles from Burukum. And so there's a lot of things that our Burukum church members do for this ministry in Jinjini. And so, that's also a blessing. The church is responsible for supporting their pastors, although they don't support them all, as in that's their only income, but they do support their pastors. Maintaining church property. In the summer of 2009, our engine broke down. We certainly do not rejoice that the engine of our bus broke down, but we do rejoice in the love for the ministry that the people showed in rallying behind the goal and project of getting a new engine, and they were successful in that. Administrate their children's Bible club program. This goes on in three different locations. The Jinjini location, Nyami Becheti location, and Branyakwa location. And in fact, in the summer of 2010, they had BBS in all three of these locations. The way I understand it, the location that had the least number had about 107 on their low day. This is the Branyakwa location. And as I understand it, they had about 160 on their low day. And Jinjini. Nyami Becheti as well. Now the church has moved out of this facility now, and I'll be telling you about that in a minute. And they also have a Women of Faith ministry, which challenges the women to learn things that will help them in their understanding of the Bible, like books of the Bible, introductions to the books of the Bible, introductions to the Old Testament, the New Testament, scripture passages, and various poems that help them to understand scriptural truths. And there are things that they get that commemorate their progress in that program. One of them is this special cloth that they can have sewed into their uniform. And then there is the youth group. And Pastor, you and I could go to the youth group. As long as we think we're youth, we're welcome. So that's the way it works there at Burukum. But my kids always enjoyed it, and I think it must have been pretty good. They have various things they plan into their program. They keep it interesting, and they challenge their young men to bring the devotionals from time to time as well. And then there's Scholars Class, which is just a special training class to help our church members grow their scriptural knowledge or things that will help them in the ministry. Growth anticipated. What we're hoping, Lord willing, to do is launch planting a new church next term, and that what we would like to do is target the Brenyakwa location. We obtained this land about 13 years ago and have been building on it, intending to move the church to this land. And we've been using our building for things like VBS, days of prayer, Bible clubs, watch night service. And this is a picture from Friday afternoon. Some of these kids are down here watching a gospel video, probably the Sugar Creek Gang, actually. And this is Friday afternoon, school's out, and they're just relaxing. So it's a way of reaching into their lives and being a blessing to them while you're teaching them as well. The church has been developing in rented facilities. And there's David, that's been a long time ago. And we had our Sunday school on the carports, and in this room here, we had our church services. It was time for us to move out in ways where we've been outgrowing this, and it needed more room for Sunday school classes and stuff like that. And what we realized was that most of our church members actually live close to this facility. Even the ones that had lived by where we were building have moved in closer to here. So we realized that if we move to that location now, we'd kill our evening services. And, you know, we don't think much about going 5 miles to church because we have dependable cars. And in Ghana, we do have dependable feet, but it makes a difference. So we started looking around, praying about it, and considering what to do. And this is a map that kind of shows you some of what we visited, or how would I say it? We rented where it says EBC, and our church construction project was in this area where it says Old Church Land. And it's about a 3-mile hike from here to here. And around that time, the Lord provided another piece of land that we could get that was really close. It was a real step of faith to say we're going to get it. But we took time with the decision. There was a lot of discussion, but the church decided to go ahead with this step of faith and get this new piece of land. You know, it had taken us 12 years to build, and we were on the verge of being ready to move into the, as far as built, so that we could at least use the new facility. And now we're going to start all over again. The land cost about 6,000 Ghana cedis, or about $4,250. And it was a good location for getting electricity, and good for our members as far as how far to go. As Baptist Mid-Missions, we came up with $2,500 and challenged the church to come up with 2,500 Ghana cedis. They would have, but it was necessary to pay very quickly. And so we had to come up with a difference. In October, they began construction. There were some special, there were some gifts that we were able to send back from the States. And they also took up a special offering of 2,227 Ghana cedis. And people donated some bags of cement. There were donations of 88 bags of cement. Those are 50 kg bags of cement. Of course, 50 kg is a bit over 110 pounds. So you can just kind of do your math there. That's a lot of cement. This was just a bare piece of land when we left in May a year ago. And this is where we were in October. And this is early December. And somewhere between, or just around the first of, or should I say, just around Christmas time, Faith Baptist Church in Townsend, Montana, gave a special gift of $3,197. That was a real shot in the arm to this construction project. And, you know, our goal was actually to move out of the rented facilities at the end of December. So this was just a little bit before Christmas. We had a long ways to go. So this was a real cliffhanger. But anyway, there were special designated gifts that we were able to send back. And there were honorariums that, you know, we had some money because of honorariums, we could send some of that back too. And so the progress went on. They put the roof on just around Christmas time. They also had a special offering of 845 Ghana cedis and then pledges of 1,700 Ghana cedis around that time. On December 30th, they had a work day, mixing concrete and pouring the floor. You might think these people are just standing around, but what they're doing is standing around resting because this work is heavy work. It's not like you just call a cement truck and he comes in with 3 or 4 yards and pours it out. We have dump truck loads we have to mix with shovels. So it's something. Please don't fill this any further. It's already full enough. And this is the concrete going down. And actually, they moved into their building on the second Sunday of January. Now, it wasn't quite this nice that Sunday, but they really made quite a bit of progress in that project. One of the church members delayed his wedding until after the church was able to use the facility. So that way, all of his relatives and friends would, of course, as they came to the wedding, they would also find out where the church was located. And so that was a good strategic move. A recap of what they have done over the year of 2010. And a dollar came to about one Ghana cedi, 43 pesos. It ranged, it wasn't the same all year round. Of course, exchange rates fluctuate. In addition to the 88 bags of cement, they gave 6,745 Ghana cedis during the year, in addition to doing a whole lot of labor. And so we praise God for this demonstration of their love for the Lord that was poured out during 2010. At this point, considering the leadership God's given Emmanuel Baptist Church and the fact that now we have two properties, what we're planning to do is, and by the way, we're leaving three kids stateside, but we're planning to launch starting a new church at the Breñaqua location. And so that's sort of the switch. And pray for us, because we're planning on spinning off of Emmanuel Baptist Church and would like to have a very good relationship with them and yet not be overbearing or pressuring in undue ways. So pray that the Lord will help us as we find our relationship and our feet and new ministry. You can email us at dkdcgh@mapesghana.com, and also Baptism Admissions Ghana has a website, BMM Ghana. And so you can look us up, and there will be a page you can click on to Burikum, so you can find out more about it or see updates.
Hey.
Well, as I said, we want to say thank you. And, you know, one thing I've been telling the church is God is no communist, right? He is not a communist. And there is a definite, in God's sense of economy, there is a definite relationship between our labor and our reward, right? Now, salvation is by grace through faith. Our salvation is Jesus Christ's reward for his labor. And boy, did he labor. And so, you know, of course, salvation is by grace through faith, but in God's economy, there's a definite relationship between labor and reward. And what you've given represents your labor. And, you know, I go back and I look at your missionary board and I know that I'm not the only one that has a picture up there. And so you've also given to other people. And, you know, someone was here before church started, had the lights turned on. I think you built this building too. You know, there are different things that you have done that represent your love and service for the Lord. And, you know, I'm sure he intends to bless those things and to reward you for them. Of course, not all rewards are here on this earth. But, you know, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 20, and you might say, now how does this fit into a missions message? Well, it fits in because it illustrates a point. Deuteronomy chapter 20, that's the law for when Israel was going to war, okay? And they were supposed to make a proclamation in the army. If anybody's scared, you know, shaking in your boots, he should just go home so he doesn't make everyone else scared and cause us to lose the battle. But there are some other things that they were supposed to say. In verse 5, and the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. What man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. And so these are three areas of labor that, you know, are common, they're temporal, okay? But God expected that his people really enjoyed the fruit of their labor in those three areas. Now, is it just for that? I think it's illustrative of, you know, not just the temporal. The temporal is illustrative of the eternal, really, in ways. You know, but in the scripture, it's quoted, you know, in 1 Timothy, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the grain. And that's when Paul was dealing with the fact that a church should, you know, do good in a material way, in a temporal way, for those who serve the church in their teaching and, you know, pastoring of the church. Now, let's see here now. Oh, no wonder that's 2 Timothy. It says, chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And of course, that second section of that is not a quotation from the Mosaic Law. That's actually a quotation from Luke. Okay, but Paul puts those two together as scripture, and that's another piece of grain the laborer can tread out. But, you know, is that written for the ox's sake? No. That's written because that illustrates something that is important for us. When in Israel, they put the oxen to work, thrashing the grain by walking around and around and around and around, trampling it so that the chaff would be separated from the grain. The ox was not supposed to be muzzled. He was supposed to be able to put his mouth down in that grain and get a bite too. Okay? And, you know, even an ox was supposed to be able to enjoy the fruit of his labor. But that is illustrative to let you know for sure that, you know, as a church, you need to take good care of your pastor. Right? Because what? A pastor is worthy of the fruit of his labor. And, you know, when we think about eternal rewards, there are eternal rewards. God knows what you're giving. He knows what your heart is. He knows what your work is. He knows the labor of prayer. He knows everything you're doing. And he intends to reward you for your labor in Christ. I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right there at the end of chapter 15. And you can look that up. I'll quote it for you, and you can look it up. I think it's 58, 59, but it might be 57, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because Paul laid a foundation all through that 1 Corinthians 15 of the fact of the resurrection. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we know that we will be resurrected, and we will be resurrected to a reward. We're not laboring for nothing. We're laboring for something. And so our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so, you know, I think that's an encouragement. There are many kinds of labor. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, 14, it talks, you know, you might say 13? Well, 13, of course, is the love chapter, but that's sandwiched right there in the middle of two chapters that are very much about spiritual gifts. And the controlling motive for the use of spiritual gifts is love, and that's right there in the middle of it. That's the rose in the middle of the doctrine. The importance of love. But there are many parts in the body of Christ. There are many labors people can do, and they can all have a part in the work of God. I think about the hymn, Published Glad Tidings. You probably know of that hymn. Tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and release. But one of the lyrics in the hymn says, give of your sons to spread the message glorious. Give of your wealth to send them on their, to speed them on their way, I think it says, actually. And, you know, we live in a society that's kind of bought into this children are a headache type of philosophy. And, you know, we really have to worry about world population and don't have too many of them, that kind of thing. And I'm not trying to say that you should have too many either, but what's happened is that we live in a society that has thrown out the window the word of God that says children are an heritage from the Lord. And how many couples, you know, they don't want any more than one or two, you know. And I don't think God intended it that way. God said be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And as Christians, hey, if we can raise them, if we can train them and reach our own children for Christ, each child that we teach the word of God to and raise in a godly manner is somebody that we're sending out into the world as sort of a gift to the world, and God will reward that. You can't give of your sons if you don't have any sons. You know what I'm saying? Of course, Paul referred to Timothy as his own son in the faith, so there is a sense in which, you know, if you can't have children, you still can, you know, in a way. But that's one of those areas of labor. And we live in a society that seems to forget that all of those things are sacred. And they're all part of what is necessary to come together in order for the church to be strong and have the wherewithal to reach out to the world, you know, so many ways. And so I hope that's an encouragement to you. Even in the case where a person was a slave, according to the scripture, that person had a reward for his labor. Now, you know, technically, of course, slaves don't have any reward. And praise God, we live in an era when we don't have, you know, any slaves officially, economically. Of course, there are people that are slaves to their sin, you know. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So even a slave in the Roman Empire, and there were many of them, a slave who came to know Jesus Christ as Savior could know that everything he was doing, his master thinks he's doing it for the master, But he knows he's doing it for Jesus Christ. And what does it say? Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And that any is there, and that applies to you and me. Passage itself was, of course, directed to slaves, but very much, if it was true for slaves, how much more true is it for you and me who are not? And so, and then the parallel passage talks about the reward of the inheritance. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men's pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You know, in Christian doctrine, all labor is sacred. Secular. Knock on wood. All labor is sacred if it's done for Christ. And that labor is represented in what you have to give. And so I hope that encourages you, that you're laboring so that you can minister. In fact, it is a ministry. I think of another scripture, and that's back in Ephesians. That scripture, this one verse, contradicts both communism and Islam. Can you think of what that verse is? Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, okay, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And that one verse, I mean, just the richness of God's word. This one verse just, you know, lets you know there is a serious problem with two major worldviews that are out there, communism and Islam. You can't give unless you have, right? And Christianity calls for a change of heart so that even the thief is made a giver. And, you know, what a difference. That is demonstrated. You go to work and you work with your might for Christ. Somebody's going to notice. And it could have an effect of bringing somebody to Jesus Christ. It's not just your avenue for provision so you can give and so you can eat and live. It is all for Jesus Christ. And so I hope that's an encouragement to you. Finally, one last thing. It's kind of a rich subject. You know, you think, and I haven't really even gotten into scriptures that deal with the crown. You know, there's a lot that deals with crowns. But when you think about the Christian reward, and we are looking forward to a reward for our labor for Jesus Christ. Is that a selfish thing to be looking forward to your reward? Well, no. What are we going to do with our rewards? They're going to be laid at the feet of Jesus, right? Amen. And, you know, I've gone over time, but you look up Revelation 4 and read those last few verses of Revelation chapter 4 and see something about the worship going on in heaven and the crowns being cast at the feet of Jesus. I want you to notice when you do look it up and read it, that appears to be, and I believe it is, a continuous, ongoing, continual worship where those crowns are being cast at the feet of Jesus. It doesn't say the crowns are being picked back up. Maybe Jesus is putting them back on their heads, but it's an ongoing thing. There is eternal significance to those rewards. And they are eternally important in our worship of the Lord. Yeah, just meditate on that a bit. I hope that's an encouragement to you. And thank you for your part in the reward in Ghana.
Look into our own hearts and think about the ministry of missions.
says, if mama ain't happy, then nobody is going to make mama happy someday, okay? All right, you guys now come see Brother Nate, some fellowship with me and his daughter, and we'll see you all going on Sunday and on Sunday.
Thank you.